I want to go back in time for a little bit, if you'll indulge me, to almost 20 years ago. It was 2007, about April, just at kind of spring 2007. My family had just relocated from the Seattle area to a house on Fairhaven Lane here in Dallas, Oregon. And we were just a handful of us in my living room praying and thinking about what would it look like to have a new church in Dallas, Oregon. We were dreaming about what that might be like, and what would be some of the things that we would do, and maybe some things that we wouldn't do, trying to figure that out. Like, what would a new expression of God's family be here in Dallas? And from the beginning, we knew that we wanted to be a church family that was focused on the outside. We wanted to be outwardly focused, meaning that we didn't want to just exist. We wanted to be a church that really could affect the good in the city. We wanted to be a church family that actually cared about meeting needs, that we were not just so internalized, but actually almost looking outward. In fact, we would have prayer huddles early on when we would meet over at the, well, first it was Whitworth Elementary School in their cafeteria. Then we moved on, we moved up in the world, and we started meeting at Bowman Auditorium in the high school. And we didn't have a building at that point. But we would pray early on before we'd have our first worship service, and we'd pray together, we'd hold hands, and then to remind us that we wanted to be an outwardly focused church, we would, kind of middle of the prayer, turn outward, and still holding hands, and we'd pray for all those who maybe had never heard of Jesus or had never connected to Jesus. And that was a physical reminder that, well, we wanted to be an outwardly focused church that would be interested in serving the community, actually meeting needs, and having a reputation of a bunch of people who cared about our city. And lo and behold, some of you haven't seen this, a year after we launched, so this was in 2008, we got this award from the Chamber of Commerce here in Dallas, and it says on here, Outstanding Organization. And they gave this award to organizations that were about the good in our city. That's how we began those early days. That was then, and this is now. Are we still, as a church family, doing our best to maintain an outward focus? From the beginning, we wanted to be, well, I think Andrew mentioned it last week. We wanted to be a church family that if we didn't exist, Dallas might miss. And could that be true about us today? I think in some ways people would miss us. But maybe there's even more areas of growth where we could be a church family that is on the move for Jesus. And if we're not here, people would notice. Do we still want to be that kind of church? Take a poll here. I don't know. Some of you might, this might be your first Sunday. We want to be that outwardly focused. In fact, where do we get that? Because Jesus said that we are to be known as a people who love one another and serve one another. An outwardly focused sort of family. Are we still meeting needs? Are we still helping people who are hurting? Are there areas in our city that could use our help? Are there areas of injustice that we could somehow affect? Are there people that are marginalized? Are there real needs that, look, we can't solve everything, but maybe we could solve one thing or help with one thing? Can we still be a church family that is maintaining an outward focus? It's interesting, we were talking earlier about how in those meetings in my living room, we were trying to figure out what to name our church. That may seem weird to you, but at some point, you know, churches have a beginning, and you got to figure out a name because the government wants to know, whatever. And we had came up with, this is back when we hand wrote stuff, 3 pages, front and back, of potential names for this church. And one of them that I'm kind of proud of that I came up with was the New Super God Force Church. That was voted down. That was a no. People didn't want, we weren't interested in that. The launch team said, no, that's weird. And 3.5 pages, and what did we wind up with? Dallas Church. Because we realize we want to be not pretentious. We don't want to be flashy. We just want to be a church family that's real people trying to love on people. And I think that's still a noble cause even right now. And so I hope you're with us on that, that you want to be part of a church family that the reputation out there is these people sure love us. And we want to maintain that. How do we faithfully continue to seek the good is the question we should always be asking. Again, we can't solve everything, but most stuff we can't solve. Let's just be honest. But there might be one need we could meet. Maybe God will put one need in front of us, and we can do that one. I love what this church leader, William Temple, said years ago. He said, the church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. Have you thought about that? It's kind of true. Kind of we're operating for the benefit. Look, if you said yes to Messiah Jesus in this room, you're in the kingdom. You're in. You're part of that every tribe, tongue, nation, generation, new creation people. You are the new resurrection people. You're in. Way to go. Now, he's asking us to turn around and face outward. Who else could we can't reach everybody, but maybe we could reach one where they can be connected to hope and freedom and forgiveness of sin. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could help somebody else be part of that too? We want to be, in that sense, outwardly focused. We want to reach our city. Yes, we're in a series called I Love My Town. This is how we love our town. Being a people who are outwardly focused, more concerned about others' needs than our own. I'm not saying that's easy, but that's what we are called to be as a church family. And we want to continue that. We love our town. We love our city. We want to be a people who love one another. So let's do a quick recap. If this is your first Sunday, we're kind of ending a series called I Love My Town. You saw the shirts out there. We walked in the parade yesterday. Again, that's part of our thing, right? We want to be outwardly focused. And so when the city throws a party or is doing something, we'd like to kind of be part of that in some small way. We want to be out there meeting needs, meeting people, however we can. And so it's right in our DNA. So week one, if you missed it, we talked about how Jesus gave us as a church and the church, not just us. He gave us a mission. There are a lot of good things we could be involved with, right? We talked about this in week one. A lot of good things Jesus could have asked us to do. He could have said, this is the number one thing. What did he do? He says, here's what I want you to do. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all nations. And what did he say? And I want you to baptize folks, make disciples of all nations, baptize folks in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them everything I've told you about. Teach them to obey everything I've told you, and keep on doing it, and I'm going to be with you the whole time. That's our mission, number one, primary mission. There's a lot of good things we can do, and maybe those are side benefits to that one mission. He was very clear. And what do we say? Clarity is kindness. That's the mission. Then in week two, we talked about what's the process of making disciples. Because sometimes, even if you've been around church stuff for a while, you're kind of confused on that. What does that mean to be a disciple? Am I a disciple? Am I making disciples? And Jesus put it in to that mission. He said to baptize them. If you were here that Sunday, that means immerse. And it's important because there's supposed to be a death and resurrection going on. And so many wonderful things happen. But he said, that's the first step of obedience. Then I want you to teach them everything I've commanded you. And I'm going to be with you as you do this. So right there is the process on how we make disciples. Helping people hear what Jesus said and put it into practice. Obedience-based. Does that make sense? So we have those two. So clarity is kindness, right? Here's with a mission. Here's a way to do that, the process. And then last week, Andrew shared stories. It was great. He was sharing stories about everyday disciple makers, how we're doing this, carrying out this mission in our homes, in our families, coffee shops, restaurants, pubs, ball fields, wherever it happens, us doing this in an everyday sort of way. And today, you guessed it, we're talking about how to maintain an outward focus from today moving on. No, we may not get another recognition from the Chamber of Commerce, but we don't need a plaque. We just need to be the people of God everywhere we go, right? Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love and faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. We want to be your people, your hands and feet. You've created us, new creation. We've died to our old ways and we've been risen to new life. And so, Lord, we want to show that everywhere we go. We want to be a people who are always looking to put others' needs above our own. And, Lord, that's hard. So we ask for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit to do that day in and day out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you read the scriptures, and many of you do, you know that we have in our Bible 66 books. We have what's called the Old Testament. Don't love that name. Anyway, we have the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, which kind of focused on the Hebrew people, later that would become the Jewish, known as the Jewish people. And then we have the New Testament. Again, don't love the title. First Covenant, Second Covenant would be better. But 66 books, diverse library there. It's an anthology. And so when you study that, you'll start to notice some patterns. And this is going to be something that if you spend time in Scripture, you're going to see it over and over again. Patterns, patterns. One of the things that you hear cover to cover is that God expects the people of faith, the people who love Him, who worship Him only, those people God is expecting to love other people. He's expecting those people to even protect the widows, the foreigners, and the orphans. Over and over and over, that shows up. And then as we'll see in a few minutes, Jesus will reinforce and echo that statement. So in modern Judaism, they look at what we call their Old Testament. They would call it their Hebrew text or Hebrew scriptures. They speak of that group of 39 books. They had more. But anyway, you have their teaching, their text. They call it the Tanakh. I don't know if you ever heard that term. It's kind of an acronym. The Tanakh is really comprised of three different sections. You have the Torah, which is the law. For us, that would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? Then you have the prophets. And you're like, what's the prophets? Can anybody yell out a few names of prophets that you know from Scripture? Isaiah, have you heard Isaiah? Jeremiah, who else? Who's the guy that like ran and got swallowed by a fish? Everybody knew that name. So that's the prophets, okay, we have a lot of them. And then we have the writings. You're like, what's the writings? Well, that includes the stuff that doesn't fit in the other category. So you have like the Psalms, you have the wisdom literature, Proverbs, things like that. So all three of those sections, believe it or not, and I'm gonna prove my point. All of those sections echo what we're to be as God's people of faith, how we ought to operate to those who need us. So here we go. We'll start with the law. If you can stand up with me, please do. This won't be a super long time, but I think it's important as we read God's word. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Are you ready for this? For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God who is unbiased and takes no bribes, who justly treats orphans and widows, and who loves resident foreigners, giving them food and clothing. So you must love the resident foreigner because you were once foreigners in the land of Egypt and the prophets. So that's the law. That's the law, right? First five books. Here's the prophets. Hang with me here. You must not oppress the widow, the orphan, the resident foreigner, or the poor, nor should anyone secretly plot evil against his fellow citizen. And in Jeremiah 22:3, that'll be up here on the screen, the Lord says, do what is just and right. Deliver those who have been robbed from those who oppress them. Do not exploit or mistreat resident foreigners who live in your land, children who have no fathers, or widows. Do not kill innocent people in this land. The law, the prophets, and here we go, the writings. Psalm 82:3. Defend the cause of the poor and the fatherless. Vindicate the oppressed and suffering. And in Psalm 146:9, the Lord protects the resident foreigner. He lifts up the fatherless and the widow, but he opposes the wicked. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You guys can have a seat. So I just walked you through in like a couple minutes the law and the prophets, proving, I guess, for me, and maybe you're still on the fence, but for the Hebrew people, they understood that part of being God's people was caring for those very people right there. Now, do you think Jesus reinforced that in the New Testament? He did in one of the scariest chapters for me in the Bible is Matthew 25. And Jesus is going to use a metaphor of sheep and goats. Are you familiar with this teaching of Jesus? If it doesn't disturb you a little bit, you need to get on your knees maybe a little bit this week and ask God to do something in your heart. Because Jesus tells this story, and it had to do with who's going to get reward and who's going to find punishment. That's not popular right now. Jesus tells of the sheep and the goats. And he says, the sheep, I'm going to gather them and put them on my right. And the goats, I'm going to put them... I know goat means something different now in our culture. Greatest of all time. But actually, Jesus was using this in a very different way. In the first century, especially in the Jewish culture, sheep were looked at as good. Goats were sometimes used as a symbol of evil, right? So there's lots of rich metaphors. We don't have time to go into it. But you have the sheep, all right, on one side, and the goats. What was the difference? Are you ready? Some of you know this. So he looks at the sheep and says, hey, blessed are you. You're going to enter into reward, the reward of my Father. I'm paraphrasing, okay? But because when you saw someone who needed a drink of water, you helped them. When someone needed an extra coat, and you had one, you gave an extra coat to them. Hey, when someone needed a place to stay, you were willing to do that. When someone was having bad legal trouble, you went and visited them. So because of that, enter into my Father's reward. But then he looks at the goats, and this is the part that always disturbs me. Now, let me just say this because I forgot to say it. These were all religious people. These were all people claiming to be people of faith. Hey, yay, yay. He looks at the goats. And what did the goats do when someone needed a glass of water? Didn't help them. Someone needed an extra coat, and did they help? It's getting heavy, isn't it? Someone was having some legal trouble and they needed a visit and you just didn't have the time. Said, well, you didn't do anything for those that, the least of these. It's like you didn't do it for me. Whereas the sheep, you did it for someone in need and it's like you did it for me. The difference was loving someone and meeting a need. I mean, one for reward and one for punishment. This, I hope, disturbs you a little bit. Are you feeling some of that right now? Think of the times when you and I have been just too busy because we're too important to be bothered by a need. You might be thinking, why did I come to church today? This is important. If you say you're a follower of Jesus, these things should disturb us. We should pay attention. When there's a tension with what Jesus is teaching, pay attention to that. Because that may be an area of growth for all of us. The law and the prophets and the writings. And then Jesus said, let me put it the way he said it. Whatever you did for the least of these, what did he say? Whatever you did for the least of these, you did it to me. Anyone who has real need, you don't need to qualify how they vote, how they look, color of their skin, whether you agree or disagree with their lifestyle. I don't care. You don't get that qualifier. You see a need and you meet that need. Jesus didn't make any qualifiers. We love qualifiers because it can kind of help us justify not helping. This, you know, Sundays can be a good clarity moment for all of us, right? Because we all struggle with that. We see a need and sometimes we don't want to be bothered with it. This is what Jesus said for us to be in the world. The people of faith, I already made the case in the Old Testament section, right? I'm making the case in the New because I haven't even gotten to the letters of Paul. When you get to the letters of Paul, he doesn't pull no punches. And he carries on Jesus' teaching even farther. And he does something called the one another's. Have you heard of the one another's? 50 to 60 times in the letters. In case we didn't get it with Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul says, let me reiterate for you. You are to love one another. You will know The people will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Paul takes it on. He just says, he gets a whole bunch of one another's. He said, actually, love one another, but yes, serve one another. Defer to one another. You know what that means? Their needs trump yours. Their rights trump yours. Now that gets into something there. That starts to disturb how I feel. You feeling that? I start to disturb. Defer to one another. Prefer one another. Accept one another. Be kind to one another. Over and over again, we find cover to cover in Scripture, God's people, the people of faith, ought to care about the needs of others. We should care about what is hurting the people in our city. What is concerning the people of our city should also stir something in us. Does this make sense? It's easy to say, harder to do. In short, God's people are a people more concerned about others around them than they are themselves. Is that true of you? Is that true of me? Let it just kind of simmer up here in the atmosphere while we ponder this. How is your outward focus these days? Would you say that you're an outward-focused person? That you regularly put other people's needs in front of your own? And some of you are maybe good at that. You're natural at that. Others of us struggle. Sometimes we find ourselves just, we can't be bothered by these things, can't be interrupted by these things. How outwardly focused are you? Let me just ask it this way. When you wake up, generally, are you wondering if God might put a need in front of you today that you could meet? How anticipatory are you living? Is it possible that God has actually already had something kind of developed way before you even realized it, and you are the unique person and time, and you're in the right place to meet a need? Have you considered that? How is your outward focus? Are you concerned about others? If I were to poll the people in your life, your friends, your coworkers, your family, would they say that you were an outwardly focused person, that you tend to care more about other people's needs than your own? And if they can't say that, you and the Lord can spend some time wondering why. This is not a matter of guilt or shame. This is what the people of faith, as we see in Scripture, we're concerned about the needs of others. How are you in your outward focus? Because I believe we're called, and this is my big point today, we're called to be a people, you and I, individually and corporately, to be a people who are building bridges, meeting needs, meeting people. Building bridges, this isn't any particular order. We are people who are building bridges. We are meeting people, and we're meeting needs. Imagine, if you will, hold on a second, if the reputation of Christians in our culture was that, rather than everything else that you might hear if you type into Google search, Christians are, wouldn't it be great if this starts showing up? There are people who meet needs or building bridges. Now, people might not want to be part of us right away, but at least they would acknowledge, well, they're doing something. We are saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by these things. But because we are saved, this is the sort of people we become, naturally because of the love of Jesus. That should be our reputation. Wouldn't that be awesome? Can we just acknowledge that? Wouldn't it be great? A year down the road, 5 years down the road, we are more in line with that than maybe we've been right now. All right, so let's get practical in the last few minutes. How? Great question. I'm glad you asked that. Good question. How do we do that? Let's talk practical stuff. Just a few ideas. Have you ever considered, and some of you are, have you ever considered volunteering your time anywhere in our city? We have a food bank. I know some people volunteer there. Some people help out. That's one area. Do you know that once a month, there is a meeting here in Dallas, and they call it the Services Integration Team. And what that meeting is all about is about 40 to 50, sometimes 60 different agencies, all in that nonprofit space that exists to help meet needs. And all those folks come together, and it's like shop talk, trying to figure out how we can meet needs. We have a presence in that meeting. That should not be surprising to you. That we have someone there trying to figure out, okay, is there a need that maybe we could help? We can't fix everything. But we might be able to help one thing. Right? What's the next thing in front of us? So we want to be engaged in those things. So consider volunteering around our city. There's so many good needs, and that meeting can actually help. And you can attend that meeting. You represent us there. Say, I'm from Dallas Church. That would be awesome. What a great thing. And you can meet people who are actually trying to do good in the city. You don't have to agree with everything. Can we stop that weird game? You don't have to agree with everything. But if there's one good thing that maybe we could do, I consider it. Maybe you'd consider it. Okay, next one. I got to move fast. How about this? Consider building relationships with leaders and politicians in our city and our county. We are called in Scripture to pray for our leaders, even those you don't agree with. In fact, Peter got so bold. Peter, one of the original 12, he got so bold in his letter to say, pray for the emperor. You know who he was talking about? Nero. Look at the history books. Was that a stand-up dude? Pray for the emperor? How could you say that, Peter? We're called to do that. We're called to pray. But you know, it's kind of hard to pray for leaders and politics that you don't know. We are in a small enough community where you can be on first-name basis with our commissioners. You can have coffee with our mayor. You can actually meet the sheriff. You can meet these people. The chief of, do you know who the chief is of our fire department? Her name's April. You can meet these people. I actually knew Tom Simpson pretty well. He retired and moved on. He was police chief forever here. They're not impossible to get to. Are you on first name basis with any of these folks that are running for office, that are doing good in our city? You can do this, young or old. So consider building relationships with leaders and politicians. And you know what you should ask them? How can I pray for you? Andrew and I just saw the power of that. Not too long ago, we were meeting with the superintendent of our schools. And he thanked us for asking, how can I pray for you? You can do this. Okay, moving on. Number three, what about offering yourself as a mentor or a coach for someone? Do you have bandwidth in your life to be a mentor or a coach? One of the things I did when I first moved to town, I coached a lot of sports. And say what you want about sports, they teach a lot of good things. But I was able to meet people and meet families and meet kids. Offering my time. It wasn't paid stuff. You just volunteer. They're always looking for solid, healthy people that can pour into the lives of young people. Have you considered being a coach or a mentor? How about this? Here's another one. Have you ever been to a commissioner's meeting or a city council meeting? Do not complain until you participate. Stop it. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. Participate. I've been to many city council meetings. I know the commissioners by first name. There was just a big commissioner meeting that was really important, their annual meeting. And they talked about some big things in the city that they're thinking about doing. I want to know. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to be in the know so that why? Not just so you can be winning the trivia contest around what's happening in Polk County. It's so that you can build bridges, meet people, and meet needs if you can. This is the hands and feet of Jesus operating all over our county, all of our city. So that's another idea. And here's one more. This is so easy, and I don't know why we struggle with this so much. Are you voting? Are you doing anything to know who these people are? Look, it's an easy way for us to have some kind of influence. Get to know what these people think. Get to know what's going on in their lives, what they actually stand for. We have a great opportunity. Not every iteration of the church around the world has this freedom, but we do. Why would we ignore it? I may not be the cool thing anymore to vote in these elections and different things, but be engaged is my point. You know, vote your conscience, but actually be engaged. It's a small way we can have influence in lots of places in our city, in our community. Those are just a few things. I was in Rotary for 6 years. That's just local help, or kind of an organization to help people. And Rotary was good because I got to learn the names of the business leaders in Dallas. Many of them changed now. Some of them passed on because I was a part of Rotary for 6 years starting in 2008. So I got to meet all the business owners. I got to know all their names. I still know some of them, and it's great. And I got the chance to pray for what's going on in all of their lives. All this is done for the grand hope that maybe one more person would say, you know, I need hope in my life. I need the work of Jesus in my life. I want the forgiveness. I want to be part of a kingdom now and not yet. I want to be a new kind of human. That's the hope. Not to make more religious people or make a bigger 501c3 or make a bunch more people that just sit in seats. He's called us to this active life of following him. So we build bridges, we meet people, and we meet needs. Are you ready? What is God going to call you to do this week? I don't know. We want to be a disciple-making church. Jesus gave us a clear mission. That's how we love our town. And we are outwardly engaged. No, again, we may not get another one of these, but that's not why we do this. It's so that we can see the kingdom grow, even just by one or two. For the now and not yet, may we be a people who are building bridges of connection, healthy relationships. I want to see a church-wide renewal, a recommitment to be an outwardly focused church that looks at who might be part of it. We want to love our city and keep doing it. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God in heaven, you're mighty and powerful. We need help. God, help us, please. We need help. We need clarity. Sometimes we don't know how to bring justice sometimes. Sometimes we don't know how to meet different needs. We don't know exactly how to do every little bit. But Father, we know you do. And so we need your empowerment by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit resurrection power, that's what we need. Father, resurrect us in that sense to be a new creation people that care about needs. And would you help us see how to meet those needs? Help us to be people on mission, to have your heart for people, and reveal to all of us in our circles of influence, reveal those people to us already that we know that are probably ready to be part of your kingdom. God, give us the wisdom in that. And help us, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to not grow weary in doing good. Until you come back, may we see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.